Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around, grab your happiest thought, and let's fly away to Neverland with me, your head lost boy, Spider Pan Jeremy. I'm actually out of town. So I have a conference I'm going to be at for a week and a half. So the show is going to be a little minimum for the next couple of weeks. But I did want to share a couple of interesting things that did happen this week. Namely that we have a cast for Star Wars Episode 9, which of course, as you know, is written directed by J.J. Abrams, who did The Force Awakens. So he's getting an opportunity to steer the franchise where he was maybe thinking of it going in the first of the new films. But what's been interesting about it, and you've got a lot of different cast people, you know, a lot of people returning, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Lupita Nyong'o, Domhnall Gleeson, Kelly Marie Tran, Junis Sotomo, and Billy Lord, of course, all coming back. We're also going to get Naomi Aki, Richard E. Grant, and Kerry Russell joining this the cast here. We also know that Mark Hamill is returning, so I'm figuring, you know, not to be surprised. We're going to have a Force Ghost of Luke. Anthony Daniels, of course, returning. Billy Dee Williams, we've already talked about coming back as Lando Calrissian, but the big news is that we have footage of Leia Organa that was filmed for The Force Awakens that was not used, and J.J. Abrams has gotten permission from her family to use those in the new film. So Princess Leia or General Leia will be there in the film. I guess probably saying the same lines that she had said in some unused footage. So, or at least maybe they can have her in the background. Maybe she won't be saying anything. But they do say that, you know, it's going to be her voice. There's nothing to be digital. So I'm expecting maybe she will be saying some things. So this is very exciting. The other exciting thing that has recently happened that I have to mention is the Fox and Disney shareholders have all approved the merger with Fox, which it has been brought to light that Fox actually owns some TV rights to Batman with both the original 1960s series and with Gotham. So this is very interesting. So a Warner Brothers DC character has some television rights that looks to be in the hands of Disney very soon. So that is very, very entertaining. But really what I'm going to do for the next couple weeks is, well, this week, we're going to hear from Palm and I'm really bad at saying her last name, but she played Mantis in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and Avengers Infinity War. I didn't catch her entire panel at Planet Comic Con this year. I walked in a little late, but I did get an opportunity to ask her some questions myself. And she was super sweet and super nice. And I don't believe I've shared this audio with you before. So we're going to listen to that this week. And I hope you all enjoy it. And I'll see you very soon. I do plan on being able to review Christopher Robin. However, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it next weekend when I view it. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to record anything. But we will have some Winnie the Pooh related fun next week, which I'm actually going to put that show together as soon as I'm done putting this show together. So y'all have a great week. And also want to share that I got some very nice feedback from Green Butterfly, who says that this show is really gets her money's off to a great start. And we're going to see if she wants to come on sometime. I think she sounds interested. She had a really fun trip out to Walt Disney World. So when we've also finished hearing all of Eric's stories, she's gotten to share some things. And I think she even did like the virtual Star Wars. I'm not sure what you call that, but I want to get a group of people even to talk about that one. That sounds like really, really cool. So, but she sent me some very nice feedback and I do appreciate it. It's nice to hear that y'all, that I'm making somehow your Mondays a little better and your week a little better. That's kind of my motivation for keeping going with this. But in order to keep it going, I do need that Patreon support. I also have some new shirts available. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you can find a link for our shop where all these shirts are available. I do have a Unicorn Pee t-shirt available. For those of you that have been listening and know what that is about, yes, a Unicorn Pee. It's a lot. It's now a t-shirt. I think it's fun. I've also got some artwork by Lost Boy Philip. Some really cool kind of futuristic sci-fi design of Spider-Man. It's very, very stylistic, very cool looking. And I'm going to give him a cut of every one of those shirts that are sold. So go and pick those up. And if you don't want to hear the ads that you're going to hear in the shows, make sure you go and join up and sign up on our Patreon for just a simple dollar a month. You don't have to hear the advertisements in the show. Alrighty, but I'm going to turn this right on over to that conference or Comic-Con convention appearance there, and y'all enjoy it, and I'll talk to you next week.
To Disney and beyond.
Rob, I feel like we start more with being on stage and exploring characters and scenes from books, from theater plays. And then at some point maybe you have auditions for movies or for TV, but you don't really learn how to play in front of camera. It just, you kind of learn when you get cast in something. I don't know, maybe there are some classes now that you can take just to work in front of a camera, but there it's more, you know, being on stage and, you know, doing, yeah, scenes from theater play for sure.
How did you and get associated in with Spike Lee when you were doing Oldboy?
Spike Lee, I got in touch with an American producer who was doing a remake of a movie I starred in, a French movie called Sleepless Night, Nuit Blanche, and he sent me the script and he made me meet the casting director, and then when it was time to have the audition for the movie, I had an audition with her and Spike Lee, yeah.
Gotcha. And I saw some notes that you had gotten your first really getting into martial arts came around that film.
So I knew that the role would require some martial arts and some fighting, and I was really new to that. Like, it's something that I always wanted to do, and I always really loved action movies, and it was my dream to be, you know, to do action and to kick people's ass, to be honest with you. And so when I heard about that role, I was like, oh my god, that sounds amazing, but I don't know how to do that. So I took classes and I trained boxing. I was not great at the beginning because, you know, as you might know, it's really hard and, you know, you have to learn the technique before, you know, being, you know, good. And, but I did it, you know. I trained the most I could, so, yeah. And then when I got cast in the movie, of course I had to train martial arts. Like 3 hours a day, every day. I lost a toenail, I had bruises everywhere. But it was really, it was amazing to learn that.
And you've kind of maintained with that through, it became, continued with martial arts all the way up to the current day.
Thanks to J.J. Perry, who's an amazing fight coordinator. He's worked with the best, with Tarantino, Spike Lee, and other amazing directors. He introduced me to an amazing martial artist, and his name is Jason Noviello. You can check his Instagram, Jason Noviello. He introduced me to him, and then Jason taught me a lot about martial arts and kicking and kickboxing and taekwondo, and you know, thanks to him, in a few months I was able to do the splits, which I was not able to do before. And you know, it's great to learn something, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. And the you've had such an interesting developmental career. It seems like as each time you do a role, it brings something to your set of skills that you then get the next movie, and it keeps on going forward from there to was it Hacker's Game, all the way up now to the old Guardians, when you're getting, you know, action scenes there. But one that just read really fascinating was your time working on movie Loop.
Oh yeah, Loop.
So tell us a bit about that movie, but then kind of like the experiences you got to have, you know, in the making of it.
Oh yeah, it was incredible. So it's a movie that I had to shoot in Oriental Siberia. So it's one of the coldest parts of the world. So in degrees, Celsius degrees, because I count in Celsius and not in Fahrenheit, it's 55 degrees below zero, so it's extremely cold. I don't know how you translate it in Fahrenheit.
Well, we can do that. 42 degrees below Fahrenheit and 42 degrees below Celsius are the same number. So it's colder than 42 below.
Okay, it's horrible. So you have to know you breathe. There's like crystals of ice in your nose. It's really weird. It was incredible because I got to hang out with nomads who live there, who are called Evens, E-V-E-N-E-S, and they taught me how to ride reindeers and how to drive a sled with reindeers. And you have to learn that, but when you wear a lot of clothes because it's really cold, it's actually really hard to move because you're like a big, you know the character in Ghostbusters? The same thing, you're like, ooh, and you're losing your stuff and you have like a big whip. But you're supposed to do that for the reindeers, and then you lose it, and then you're like, oh, I have to get it back, and then the reindeers are gone, and it was really hard.
That just seemed like it was a really neat experience.
And I had to shoot with real wolves, and I love that, because I love animals, and it was amazing.
How was working with the wolves?
It was great, and, you know, it's, I mean, they're, like, trained, of course, but, yeah. I mean, in movies, they're portrayed usually as like mean animals, but they're not. And they don't actually want to fight humans, and they're trying to avoid them because they know that we are more dangerous than they are, and they don't want to fight them. But for like storytelling, it's amazing to make the wolf a bad creature, but they're not. And so they were trained, and they were used to being around human beings, but each of them, there were like 12 of them, I think. And each of them had their particular character, and one of them was shy, another one was a little bit grumpy, and another one was like always like trying to lick our face, and you know,
It's always like having a very serious, dire scene, and some of the wolves are trying to lick your face.
Yeah.
What's been some of, do you have any particular stories from the set when you were working on Guardians 2 that would be good to share with audience that you could talk about, or not too embarrassing?
What?
Stories from Guardians when you were making it?
Oh, when I was making it? I don't know. You have to ask me questions. Okay. I think it's hard to come up with stuff, yeah. You know?
Then Drax, you did your chemistry read with him.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Oh, it was great. I love working with Dave. He's a gentleman, and he's great. He's so nice, and you have to just, you know, when he talks about his wife, it's the most beautiful thing. And it was great to work with him and to work with all the other guardians. Actually, I can't wait to shoot the next one with them.
Do they, when working with them in scenes, do you get most of the feedback coming, looping back from them? Do you guys work out scenes on the side, or is it James kind of doing the direct kind of feedback?
Actually we do a lot of rehearsals with James, which helps a lot because you know exactly what you're shooting, on the day that you're actually shooting. So we had, I think, 2 weeks of rehearsals for the movie. So we went through, you know, the script and maybe some changes and how we would move during the scene, and it was really helpful. Yeah, so we did that. He's really organized, James, and he knows exactly what he wants from the characters. Of course, you can bring your own ideas, but, you know, it's really incredible to work with him.
Also, as we're going, there are two microphones down here, so if you'd like to ask questions, feel free to start lining up. We'll keep on chatting, but we'll have someone coming to line even now.
Sir?
Hi, Pom, you're terrific.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What I want to know is, in Guardians, you have to wear those really big contacts to get Mantis' eyes right. What is that like?
Oh my god, it's not really comfortable, to be honest with you. They're really big, they cover the whole eye, and it gives you tunnel vision, so it's a little bit weird, you know? It's like you're like looking through a door, you know? How do you say it, a lock?
Like a hippo.
Yeah. And also there is someone, his job is to put eye drops in my eyes every 15 minutes to make sure that my eyes are still moisturized, and sometimes the person has to like turn the contact lenses and to pop them from to make my eyes breathe a little bit. So it's a whole thing. Yeah.
I'm sorry you have to go through that, but thank you.
Sir. Hi, I'd actually, my goodness, this is a little low. With now, after having completed a Guardians film and then moving on to something like Avengers Infinity War, I wonder what the pressure is like, knowing the anticipation for another Avengers film, what it was like going into that as being, you know, having just been introduced in one film and now you got to move into this huge ensemble cast with Avengers.
I don't really feel the pressure because, of course, it's not my movie, you know, there are so many characters. And yeah, I've done my job, and I don't know what is gonna be left in the movie. You know, like when I do the waving in the trailer, it's just like something that I came up with. It was not even in the script, and I thought that it would be fun, but I was sure that they would never keep it. You know, they kept it. I was like, oh my god, that's great, that's funny. But yeah, so I don't know. You know, when you're an actor, you never know. You know what they keep. So maybe there might be like less from what I shot, so I don't know, but I can't wait to see the movie. I haven't seen it, and I'm gonna watch it like a fangirl, you know? More than like my movie, you know? Because there are so many amazing actors that I've admired my whole life, that I'm gonna be like, you know? So yeah, I'm not gonna feel the pressure. I'm gonna be like, just like, oh my god, what's happening? Yeah.
Thank you.
Out of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, what would you say your favorite character other than Mantis is?
Oh, it's so hard. It's such a hard, you know, such a hard question. I love the Hulk. I love Groot, of course. I don't know, I love Black Widow. You know, before being in the Marvel Universe, I was like, oh, she's the girl, yes, I want to see more of her. So yeah, I'm excited about all the new female characters too. I saw Black Panther, it's incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, just run and go see it right now. I mean, maybe not right now, but yeah. And the female characters are so fun in the movie. They're strong, and Shuri, she's funny, and yeah, it's really exciting what's happening now.
You did some scenes with Kurt Russell and some scenes with Dave Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do anything outrageous, some funny slings they did, any pranks on you or anything?
I don't know. I know that we had fun with Kurt Russell. He's really funny. He taught me how to play bocce. And it's funny because it's a game that people play a lot in the south of France, and we always watch, kind of like older people like drinking pastis and, you know, eating like stuff like olives and just like playing boule, bocce's, and bocce, and I never played it, and he taught me, so I thought it was kind of funny.
How was it like doing the Guardians Inferno music video at the very end of the movie?
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was a lot of like dancing and just goofing around, which I love, and yeah. I loved it, and when I saw I came to set to shoot my part of the video, and I saw James Gunn all dressed up, and it was hilarious.
How did they prep for that? Did they give you guys particular, you know, what they wanted you to do, or did they just kind of let it rip?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
No, they knew like what we had to do, and they paired us up with like certain people, or like certain people who were just by themselves. And I don't know, I think that Chris Pratt, he shot his part when he was in London, and you know, it was kind of like they were trying to get everyone, you know, when they could. And yeah, but I mean, you could have fun with the dancing, you know. It was not like, oh, you have to do this and this, you know. It was just, ooh, have fun, you know.
How do you get like the pointy things on your head?
Antennas, you mean? Yeah. Okay. So amazing makeup artists. They put a prosthetic on my forehead. It looks like a pancake. It's you know, it's like pretty thin, like a crepe. And and it's just the beginning of the antennas. And then they just like kind of blend it with the makeup. And they put like dots, like black dots, for the to be able to do the CGI with that. And then with the CGI, they make the antennas much bigger.
Oh,
but when I shoot, I cannot forget about them because they're so small, you know. But people remind you. They're like, oh, you have like nipples on your forehead. And, you know.
it must be so. Was it fun then when you first saw the clips to come back with the effects in what the antennas were going to look like, and moving after the first one is like, oh, I've got antennas on my head.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great when the guys who worked in the CGI, the special effects, they came, we were shooting the movie still, and they came with a computer and they showed me an animation with me and you know, the antennas, the CGI, and it was incredible. And yeah, they showed me different options, and for sure the one they chose in the end was the best, yeah.
So,
hello, I have two questions. First off, what was your favorite scene in the film and going to?
And what?
What was your favorite scene to film in going to?
I love to be, like, it was fun to do like the you know, because I didn't have much action in it, but you know, to be hit by the rock was really fun to do. Because there was nothing, there was just a mat on my right, and I had to do as if I was hit by a huge rock, but there was nothing, you know. You say, action, rock, and it would be like, shh, you know, and it was fun to do. I love to do that.
And what is Chris Pratt like in real life?
He's the best. I mean, he's even better than, you know, what you could imagine. He's always in a good mood. He's sweet. He's hilarious, and you know, he just like sets the best mood on set. You know, because you know, when you're like number one on the call sheet, if you're not nice, you know, it's not great for the other people. You know, because it just kind of like bleeds into like the atmosphere. You know, but he's the best. We had a great time.
Awesome, thank you.
Thanks.
What was your least favorite part about working on the movie?
Oh my god. I don't know, you know, I don't know, you know, I try to forget these things, you know?
Early morning call times.
Yeah. Yeah, when you shoot like maybe several days in a row, it can be tiring, but you know, like it's what I love to do, so yeah.
Was that your first film working against being in scenes against characters that aren't really there, purely against CGI interaction and stuff like that? Or have you had done that in prior films?
I don't know, but you know, when you're an actor, you always have to imagine stuff that don't exist, or that are not there, or you have to imagine situations that are not real at all. So it's just a little bit more of that, you know? When you do a scene with someone and you're supposed to love him so much, and in real life you don't really care about this person, you know? It's just imagination, you know? So it's the same thing. When they play with Baby Groot and there is like nothing in front of me, or a tennis ball, I'm just going to do the scene and, you know, that's it. Of course, it's better to have a human being, you know? But that's why James Gunn is so amazing, because instead of having a tennis ball of a rocket, you know, it's Sean Gunn, who's an amazing actor, who plays Rocket. And when I try to pet the puppy, he's like almost biting my fingers, and I have to react to that, you know? Like that scene?
I think everyone kind of enjoys that scene. It's your puppy. Do you, in addition to the film work that you do, do you still do any theater work?
Do what?
Do you do any stage work or theater work?
No, I would love to do that at some point. But, you know, it's like such different roles. So once you do movies, yeah, to go back to theater, you have to, yeah, really think of how to do it, you know, how to get in there. We'll see. You know, life is long, hopefully.
What do you, because like they're kind of touching on any kind of pranks that might have happened on set or any kind of jokesters, was James Gunn at all kind of a comedian on set or do any pranks, or is he pretty much a down-to-business sort of director?
What?
James Gunn.
Is he James Gunn that doing pranks?
Yeah. Was he pretty much a straight-to-business? Because he always kind of presents himself very much. He's a great guy all the way around, but just when he's on set, is business all the way, or is he having fun along the way?
I mean, we can have fun, you know, like sometimes like stuff happens and it's funny, or like, you know, sometimes like Chris Pratt is gonna like say something that is hilarious, maybe it's not gonna make the cut, but you know, he doesn't do pranks, he's like really, you know, he's like directing, you know, and I don't know, James loves to, you know, tell that story when we were, the only prank that we can remember is when we were rehearsing, before shooting the movie, we were rehearsing with Dave Bautista, and, you know, we were doing this scene that gets pretty emotional when I touch him and I read him and I go through his past and, you know, and then we see Michael Rooker's ass, you know, he just like put his pants down and he was just like putting his butt against the window of the door, and it was pretty hilarious, you know, it was pretty, you know, pretty bad timing to do that, which was even funnier, so yeah. But you know, Rooker, you met him, right? He's hilarious.
It sounds like Rooker.
Yes.
Sorry.
I was wanting to know, like how does the studio like pressure you to like keep secrets about like Avengers and everything? Like, do you know everything about that already, or do they keep it a secret from you?
What? How they pressure me?
Yeah, like.
I mean, you know, it's not like they're coming to my place and with a gun and saying, "Hey, don't you anything." No, no, it's part of my, you know, it's part of my contract and my job to just keep my mouth shut, you know? And you sign an NDA, so you're not supposed to tell stuff about, you know, the movie. It's great because, you know, it's a surprise when people see the movie, so, you know, it's nice, too, to keep it special, you know? But it's hard sometimes, for sure, you know? When I got the role, I was so happy. People were like, what's happening? I was like, ah, no, nothing.
It was like, think how much it was for the Walking Dead cast of the new with the Negan, and then for an entire year they're all like, you're all gonna lose your minds. Same kind of thing. Everyone's like, we know what happens in Avengers, but you're gonna have to wait to find out. Because that way we can all be there in the theater and go, wow.
Yeah.
That was part of that fun of seeing it the first time.
Ingrid Goes West was one of my favorite movies last year, so thank you so much for that. I know.
I mean, I'm very in the movie. Yeah, but thank you. I love the movies.
Yeah. I was gonna. What's your favorite form of social media? And did you and Elizabeth Olsen bond even more after doing that and then going to Infinity Wars?
I love Instagram. For me, it's, I don't know. I like the format. I like the, I don't know. I like pictures. You know, I like to share stuff that I like. And I find it more intimate in some way, which is completely not true because, you know, the whole world can see it. But I don't know, it feels like more like a gallery. It feels like a little, you know, a gallery of stuff that you can post and, you know, share with people. And, yeah. And Lizzie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny because we've done 3 movies together already. So, and actually it's funny because she joined Instagram when she did the movie. She was not on Instagram before. And now she's hooked. She keeps posting stuff. That's cool, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I like her.
Between your more action-oriented character in the remake of Old Boy and your more emotionally-based character in Guardians, you have a favorite kind of character you like to portray or a favorite kind of movie you like to be in, or do you prefer to mix it up?
No, I would love, you know, I love to mix it up, and I would love to do really different things. You know, I would love to do also really goofy comedies. I would love to do French movies again. Independent movies, a big action movie, and I don't know, I just want to have fun and try to challenge myself. And you know, and the actors that I admire the most are the ones that, you know, take risks and do different things, and that who are where we don't expect them. So yeah, hopefully I would love to do that too.
So I have 2 questions. 1, what is your favorite movie? And 2, what is the difference between working on an American set versus like a French or a European set?
Okay, so I'm gonna answer the second question first. There is a bottle of red wine on the table of a French movie set. So that's a big difference. But you don't have to drink, of course, but you have to drink.
Oh, no, you should.
And then what is my favorite movie? It's really hard because I have a lot of favorite movies, and you know, I think it changes throughout the years. And if you see a certain movie at a certain age, it's going to touch you in a different way that you see it maybe when you're older. So, you know, it's tough, but I know that movies that made a big impression on me are, you know, I love Old Boy by Park Chan-wook. I love The 25th Hour by Spike Lee. The Terrence Malick's movies. I love Tropic Thunder with Ben Stiller. You know, it's funny because when people ask, you know, what is your favorite movie, it's always like, oh, really serious movies, you know? People don't want to say, you know, like big comedies, but, you know, some of them are really good. I don't know, it's tough. I love the Jacques Audiard movies, you know, I don't know if you saw, like, Rust and Bone. I don't know, the translation in English. My heart stopped beating? No, I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If there were any actors that you would really love the opportunity to work with, what are some, you know, top people that you would just love to get to do scenes with?
People that I want to do scenes with?
Yeah, that you'd like to work with on a film or television.
Oh, I love Tilda Swinton. I would love to work with her at some point. Steve Carroll too, and I heard that he's really nice, so that'd be awesome. I don't know, who else? So many amazing, like, people to work with, it's hard to pick, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, with Marvel and Disney being so closely related now, how active, like, is Disney, like, do they have their executives come on set once in a while to, like, check and make sure, like, they're okay with everything going on, or do they kind of just hand the reins to Marvel Studios and they're kind of okay with everything that they're putting out?
I don't remember. I don't know.
I was just curious, just because I didn't know if, like, Marvel had, or if Disney had approved everything Marvel Studios was doing, because it's kind of under their blanket now, or if they're like...
Okay, I think that they work very closely together, but, you know, Marvel is doing really well, I feel like, you know, so Disney trusts them too, you know? I mean, there's also, yeah, freedom in the, you know, in the Marvel Universe, and I think Kevin Feige is just a genius, you know, and he keeps really, you know... The universe makes sense always.
Yeah,
not all over the place.
I mean, with their track record right now, successes. I think Disney knows when they've got something that's going solid, and they don't want to, you know, rock that boat too strongly. Keep it going. Yes, young man.
Do you think Mantis and Drax will be boyfriend and girlfriend?
They get along, you know? Don't you have a girlfriend that you like just as a girlfriend and not, you know, I mean, not just as a friend, but not like something intimate and then kisses and stuff like that? No?
I'm sure you don't have that somewhere. No? Okay. You're lost.
Well, speaking of Disney, I wonder now if you've gotten a chance to ride the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout ride over in Disney's California Adventure and what you thought of it.
Yes. I went there for the opening. It was really fun. So you have to be careful to not eat too much before, because it's just a lot of up and down and really, really fast. So, but it's great. It's fun, and all the story with what's his name, Benicio del Toro.
The collector.
Yeah, the collector in the Guardians. It's really fun.
Thank you.
Have you been? Sorry, no.
Actually, no. See, that's weird because I'm a Disney podcast host and I've only ever been to Walt Disney World, and my co-host goes to Disneyland and brings me back audio that I can play from our listeners. So I've gotten to hear it, but I haven't gotten to write it yet.
Okay, you have to go.
I know. And my wife has never been to a theme park like that. So I'm like,
you go to Black Panther and you go there, okay?
I know. And I've been working this whole weekend, so I haven't gotten a chance to go see the movie, so I can't even review it for my listeners.
It's, the ride's actually really great. I got a chance couple weeks ago to go see it, and it's a lot of fun. If you have the podcast recording, you hear lots of screams as people are going and dropping up and down. But again, that must be fun that, again, you're working on a project that it is the film, it is the project, but there's all this tangential stuff around with it, between the Funko Pops and action figures and rides.
And like Doritos and chips and stuff like that. It's crazy. I never found it, actually. Does anyone have the Doritos pack of chips with a mantis on it? No? I'm looking for it. But I would eat it. That's bad. I shouldn't frame it, you know, once I find it.
So, well, once you finish eating them, you save the wrapper. I'm just going to put that
in. Yeah, but it's not the same, no?
What would you say your favorite song is from the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 soundtrack?
Oh my god, it's so hard. I would say I love this song because for me it brings back, you know, the songs, it's more about what it just reminds you of, you know, and the memories and the nostalgia and all that. When we're shooting the scene, you know, we're like all looking at the sky and I say it's beautiful, and Drex says something not really nice, and but you know, we're all together, all the Guardians, and we have the We had the music in our ear. How do you call that? It's just like a stuff that you put in your ear. Yes, an earpiece, and it's just in your ear like that, so like from the outside, no one sees that you're listening to something. And so it's like really intimate, you know? We're like, all the actors were all listening to the same song at the same moment, and just looking at the sky, and it was the end of the movie, you know? So it was pretty emotional too at some point, you know? So it was nice. A father and son, that was the song.
Thank you.
Sure. I had two short questions for you. One, did you ever get the chance to meet Stan Lee when you were on set?
Yes, I met him on set, and which was amazing. And then I met him again. We did, how is it called? It was like an event like to celebrate his career. And and so I went on stage and we chatted a little bit, and it was really nice.
And then question two, you had mentioned the bottle of red wine. What was the food selection like they had for you on the set?
of Guardians?
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't know, of course you can't eat like stuff like that, which is not really good for you. But I don't know, you can like order stuff or, you know, things like, I don't know, stuff that people eat, like, you know, meat, fish, and vegetables, and burritos, and rice, and I don't know, it depends on the menu, you know?
I mean, I'm guessing they would bring you just about anything you ask them to, is that right?
Yeah, but I'm not the kind of person who's going to ask for something like, weird that isn't annoying to find, you know? I don't know. But, okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is this your first, like, talk event?
No, it sounds like it. Sorry. No, it's not my first. I did a few. It's a little bit awkward, but yeah. I mean, like, it's weird to talk in front of a lot of people, but I'm getting a little bit more comfortable.
Okay. Hi. Do you have a dream stage role?
Oh.
For theater?
For theater?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember that I, for a theater exam, competition, yeah, competition, I don't know if you know Les Bonnes de Genève. Yeah, so we did that, it was really fun. And I know that they've been doing it again and again, you know, in New York, Broadway, or off-Broadway, I don't know.
Would you be interested in doing the Broadway version?
Yeah, that'd be great, I mean, you know, we'll see. Maybe someday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Was that the one that you had got the scholarship competition win of?
Yeah, I won the competition with that. You know, it's like, there are like three, how do you say, trois tours. Three, you know, you do one first one, and then some people are eliminated, and then second one, and then third one. Levels?
Rounds.
Oh, rounds, yeah, it's not a video game, yeah.
Maybe levels too.
Yeah, rounds, three rounds, it was the second one.
Hmm.
Yeah. I remember my lip bled, I think. It was weird.
That was, but then it also speaks about the talent that you had coming into it. Like when I mentioned that you came late to theater and getting started at 18, going in, and then you did the competition, and then that gave you a couple of years of scholarships going to school for it. And that's, you know, that speaks a lot, because you have a lot of people that, you know, grew up with theater from, you know, 3 years old on stage, mm-hmm. and you came to us like and knocked it out of the park and did so well. So now, yeah, now we get to see you in this evolution of movies and films. It's like seeing where you grow as an actress, and it's, you know, more directors latch on. It's like, I want her in my film. Are you currently casting or in project on anything else? Anything else coming up? I'm pretty much just focused on Avengers.
Yeah, I've been shooting Avengers, yeah, for a few months. It was kind of hard to shoot then. And now I'm just making sure of, you know, making the right choice. I still audition most of the time. I also get offered stuff sometimes, and, you know, most of the time it's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. But, you know, yeah, we'll see. I just want to make the right choice and, you know, have fun and, I don't know, yeah, we'll see.
I was wondering, can you tell us a little bit what it was like to get together with all the MCU actors for the 10th anniversary class photo?
Oh, it was great. I mean, so many of them I've admired almost my whole life, and to be amongst them, it was really incredible. It was really fun.
That's an amazing photo just by itself, just that collection of everybody, and it brings us together, you know, how much, you know, Marvel is built out of that, at that universe, and now you're a part of it.
Yeah, it was fun. I look like grumpy, but you know, like some people like smile and it looks like they have fun, like but anyway, yeah, no, it was a great day. You know, I got to talk to a lot of, you know, really amazing people, and yeah, it was nice. I felt lucky.
So post-Avengers, so you're kind of looking around, do you think you would like to gravitate towards a non-genre film next, like a drama or comedy, but, you know, not in a science fiction genre, or just kind of like see what floats up?
Oh, depends, you know, it's all about finding the good role and a good story and work with a great director if possible, and, you know, depends. I would be happy to do, sci-fi again, you know, of course.
Who do you think has been your most influential director? Because, as you mentioned, when you were coming up for, you know, in school, it was very much for the stage. It was really focused for how to act in front of a camera. Who would you credit as kind of like one of your big influences for teaching you how to act behind a camera?
You just do it, you know. I think there is no like lesson that you can take. Of course, it can help, but, you know, it's all about being in the moment and just like talking to the person who's in front of you and listening. And then, you know, and of course, if there are lines, you have to know your lines, you know, and yeah.
But it's like with the directors, how about the instructor working with the directors as far as kind of drawing those performances out of you?
I learned a lot with, you know, Spike Lee. I learned a lot with James. And, you know, each experience is just a little bit more, makes you a little bit more, I don't know, teaches you more, and yeah.
What was it like working with Spike Lee?
Oh, it was great. It was funny when he would call me on the phone. I was in France, then and talk about the character and choose the name together, and yeah, he would send me texts, and you know, when he writes a text, there is a capital letter to each word, so it's always like, oh, I don't know how he does that. How do you do that with your phone? It's like God is texting you, you know? It's like, oh, there's light coming out of the phone. Yeah.
And I'd see that he tasked you to help come up with a name for that character in that film, didn't he? Asked you to help kind of advise what you wanted to call him.
Yeah, but it was kind of funny because he said, find a Korean name. I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, my mom is Korean, but I was not raised by her. I don't know how to speak Korean. You know, I have no idea. So I just went on a website with the alphabet, with like just all the names, all the Korean names that can exist. So I started with the letter A, and I gave him like options of names that I like. And then he said, keep on going. I was like, okay. B, C, D, keep them going. He was like, okay, E, F, I did the whole alphabet. I think it took like, I don't know, an hour? It took so long. And then at some point he said, how do you say happiness? And then I looked it up, Hang Bok. And then he said, do you think it's a good name? I said, yeah, I think it's a good name. Okay, it's your name.
Very cool.
All right, so when watching Guardians Volume 2, when Mantis is on screen, are you like, hey, that's me, or are you like, that's Mantis, I don't really know that person?
No, it's always weird, actually, to see yourself or the character that you played. I mean, like, you know, because of course it's myself, but you know, it's like contact lenses, antennas, you know, there's like much more going on. Yeah, it's weird, but it's fun too, you know? I don't know, because it's what I played. I mean, you know, it's what I created, but it's what James Gunn created, the character that he wrote, and it's what the makeup artist, did on my face, and the makeup, and the hair, and the costume, it's everything, you know, everyone who worked towards the same direction, and that's pretty amazing, you know?
Thank you.
Thanks.
And it must also be kind of fun going from, just like when you saw your antennas for the first time, you know, you're working day in and day out in the midst of a bunch of green boxes and other various pieces, you know, with your fellow performers, and then you find the scene with all the effects laid in, and just the difference that something makes that, you know, all their prosthetics is no longer Sean sitting there, but it's Rocket that you're now interacting with, and just seeing that final product. When you saw the Pet Your Puppy scene for the first time with everything in it, what was your thought?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. yeah, but you know, when you shoot something, you never know how it's going to be edited either, you know? And you can make a scene more efficient and funnier with the editing, you know? And with the rhythm, how it's going, and what you see, you know, you could see Rocket's face or my face, my reaction or his reaction, and it changes the scene too. So, you know, it's amazing to see that on screen and to see the director's vision, you know?
You alluded that you did, that James would have you guys do multiple takes, kind of trying things slightly different ways, and sometimes actors would, you know, throw in, you know, you waving, or someone else say a different line.
I mean, like waving, it's in Avengers, but yeah.
Well, I mean, but so it's right, as far as being in a thing that wasn't in the script, and you guys just did improv, were they pretty allowing of that? Was an actor kind of, can I try it again with a different, you know, take on?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, his movies are, you know, the movies are really well written, so you don't have to change much, you know, I mean, you shouldn't anyway. I mean, of course you can bring some stuff and like, oh yeah, I'm going to say that. He's like, yeah, sure. You know, he gives you the possibility, but usually, you know, it's already really good, you know. Yeah, and you're going to do it in different ways, a different rhythm, and maybe faster, and the... What? And what else? I don't remember what I was saying. yeah, and sometimes, usually the last take he says, okay, this one just for fun, so you do whatever you want to do. So it can be good or it can be, you know, weird and, you know, but he chooses what he wants in the end, you know?
About what you already know about Thanos, what is your opinion on him?
I can't say anything. He's the bad guy. He's very purple.
you've heard it here first. if you could play one of the other roles now in the MCU, which one would you love?
No, but I can't do that. I love them so much, and I wouldn't do a better job than them. No, it would be fun to just do Groot, you know, just to say three words over and over.
Now, question, maybe you could confirm possibly this. The understanding is Groot's script has the actual words.
Oh, yes. Do you know that?
Groot's script actually has the real dialogue of what he is saying. That way he knows how to...
I mean, it's true that he's explaining like Vin Diesel, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. So James Gunn wrote a version of the script for Guardians of the Galaxy for Vin Diesel to translate each time he says Groot into what he would say if he spoke English or like whatever language that he's human. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty amazing. But James Gunn and Vin Diesel are the only people I think who know that and who have this script. So each time he says I am Groot, he's actually saying something really specific. Maybe it would be like five sentences. It's just I am Groot, but we don't know.
I always thought it was brilliant of James to
do. I want to read that script.
It's just so smart of James to do it that way because it gives him so much more to play with. Very cool. And actually, if you could work with any contemporary French director, who would you like to work with?
I don't know. I love Jacques Audiard for sure. He's amazing. It's a classic. I don't know. I love Gaspar Noé too. He's an amazing director.
And last question.
So for your roles, do you find yourself leaning more towards method acting or Meisner? Kind of relating back to your stage, I assume that you kind of translate that to film a little bit?
I tried Meisner, actually. I took acting classes a few years ago. It was a little bit weird. It was repeating stuff over and over. It was interesting because it was all about listening. I don't know, it's just like, you know, it's my, you know, from everything, all my experience in my life, in my private life, and also with, you know, the classes that I took and the people that I worked with, you know, I kind of dig in that, you know? So it's not like one particular method, and I don't think a method either, because, you know, I respect people who are, but, you know, I just want to have a good time on set. I don't want to be like the one who's just isolating and I can't talk to anyone. But you know, if someone needs that, why not? And that's great, you know? But yeah, I'll see, maybe I'll do that one day, you know, and you will make fun of me, but
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today and for bringing such a great character like Mantis to this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Glue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody! This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson.
Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yay!
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.